Good morning. If you will join me in turning to Psalm 118. Psalm 118. Our text will be verse 24. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. For our Bible study, I want us to rejoice and be glad. This verse, I usually think of this verse and tell myself, stop complaining. But this time I saw more than just that. Not only should we stop our complaining, we should. But this verse gives us much reason to rejoice and be glad. There are three things I want us to see that I hope can make us truly rejoice and be glad this day. May God enable us to rejoice. The first thing I see is God's sovereignty. Rejoice and be glad in God's sovereignty. This is the day which the Lord hath made. God made this day. This is a special day. God made this day. What a beautiful day. We worship the true and living God. Does that make you rejoice? There's a lot of false gods. We worship the true and living God. We worship the God whom the psalmist said is in the heavens. Our God is in the heavens. And our God is great. Our God is great and greatly to be praised. We worship the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And unlike us, our God is eternal. Our God had no beginning, and He has no end. Our God is the creator of everything. In the beginning, God, that's where it all began. Everything we believe starts right there, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Remember now thy Creator. Oh, we'd be so wise to remember our Creator in our youth. And God alone is great. You know, often this flesh convinces us we're great. We're not great. God created the heaven and the earth, and God formed man of the dust of the ground. And we've not gotten any better. There's a verse that says, He knoweth our frame, He remembereth that we are dust. We're still just dust. Still just dust. We've not improved. Ecclesiastes 5 verse 2 says, God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. Let's stop our complaining. We are nothing. God alone is great. Turn over with me to Isaiah chapter 45. We're going to do a bit of turning this morning. Isaiah chapter 45. Look with me at verse 18. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is just one God. There is just one sovereign. Let us rejoice and be glad in the fact that we worship the true God, the true sovereign. Turn over with me to Nahum chapter 1. It's after Micah, before Habakkuk. Nahum chapter 1. Not only is God truly God, not only is God the sovereign, God has His way. God has His way, and how we ought to rejoice to know that. Nahum chapter 1, and look with me at verse 3. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath His way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of His feet. How glorious. How glorious. The Lord hath His way. He's always had His way. He has His way right now, and He always will have His way. Praise His name. Praise His name. I'm so glad the Lord has His way. You know what His way is? We just read it. Slow to anger. I'm so glad our Lord is slow to anger. What is His way? Great in power. He alone has all power and all authority. But not only do we rejoice in those things, I rejoice to know that He will not at all acquit the wicked. Well, how can you say that? Trust me, I'm aware somewhat of the fact that I am wicked. This flesh is wicked, totally wicked. Well, the reason I rejoice in this fact that God will not at all acquit the wicked is this. Our God is a just God. That means our God only does that which is right. Our God is righteous. Our God is a just God. But not only that. Our God is a Savior. Our God actually, truly, really saves. And I rejoice. Our God is just, righteous, and holy. Turn to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 3. And one cried unto another, the angels, one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. If our eyes ever see the King, we're going to cry like Isaiah, Woe is me, I'm undone. Woe is me. The Lord Jesus Christ is King. He's my King. He's our King. And His decrees always come to pass. Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and look at verse 4. Where the word of a king is, there is power. Take out the italics. Where the word of a king, power. The Lord is King. And who may say unto him, What doest thou? Don't you love that? The Lord is King. Lift up thy voice. Great is He. Great is He. Nebuchadnezzar found that out, didn't he? When he learned who the King of heaven is, this is what he had to say. He said, He doeth according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay His hand or say unto Him, What doest thou? Oh, that makes my heart rejoice, and that makes me so glad. God is sovereign. God has His way. The second thing I want us to rejoice in is God's providence. I was trying to think of a definition for God's providence, and this is the best I got. God's providence is the unfolding of His will. He said, My counsel shall stand, I will do all my pleasure. That's His providence. This is the day. Today is the day which the Lord hath made. I want us to rejoice and be glad today. Today. I don't know about you, but I take most days for granted. When the fact of the matter is, every day is important. Because the scriptures say God makes every day, and nothing God makes is insignificant. We should make the most of it. I pray that God will help us to make the most of this day. And I'm so glad we're gathered here around His Word with His people to worship Him. What better way to spend a day? And I just want to point this out. We know not what shall be on the morrow. If we have tomorrow, we know not what a day may bring forth. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen when I walk out these doors today. But whatever happens when we walk out these doors today, let us thank our God for it. And let us worship Him. And if God is willing, let us come back tonight and worship Him again. One of our hymns says, "I am not skilled to understand what God hath willed, what God hath planned. I only know at His right hand is one who is my Savior." Let us rejoice to know that at God's right hand is one who is our Savior. Oh, let us be glad. We have a Savior seated at the throne of God, the right hand of God on high. Let us trust Him. Let us trust Him and let us rejoice. Another hymn we sing, it says, "This is my Father's world. Oh, let me ne'er forget that though the wrong seems oft so strong," and it does, "God is the ruler yet." You know, I can lay down at night and go to sleep knowing that. Knowing that our God is on His throne. Let's never forget that. Let us rejoice in our God's daily providence for us. You know, there's in 1 Thessalonians 5, it says, "Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." I pray God will cause us to truly give thanks. Rejoice and be glad. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Not only should we rejoice in God's daily providence for us, how we ought to rejoice in God's eternal purpose. And I don't know a verse that shows us His purpose more clearly than this right here, Romans 8, verse 28. And we know, praise God, we know. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. You know, I feel the need to say this because these words get mentioned all the time. Oh, well, it just so happened. No such thing. I mean, I say it too. But there's no such thing as it just so happened. Nothing just happens. There's no such thing as an accident. If there was an accident, then God's not in control. And I get it. We know what it means when we say, "Oh, well, I had an accident." We know what it means. But there's nothing just happens. There's no accidents. There's no good luck, bad luck. Nothing's left to chance. And that's why I can rejoice. Because we know that all things work together for good. God is working all things together. Doesn't that make you rejoice? Knowing that nothing just happens, God's working. Everything that's happening is part of God working all things together for good. For good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. It makes me rejoice to know that there is a people who love God. There is a people, what the Scriptures refers to as the called. And they are the called according to God Almighty's purpose. Look at verse 29. We'll see what this purpose was. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. What is God's purpose? God's purpose to save a people from their sins. That is why He predestinated a people to be conformed to the image of His Son. The only way we could ever be accepted is in His Son. God is well pleased with His Son and only with Him. That His Son might be the firstborn among many brethren. God would have many brethren. And Christ must be the firstborn among all those brethren. This verse tells us that salvation is in His Son, in Christ. How glorious. Look at verse 30. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. From start to finish, salvation is of the Lord. He predestinated. He called. He justified. He glorified. Where does that leave me? What part do we play? Here's the part we play. We love Him because He first loved us. We read what our God has graciously declared in His Word. We say amen, and we rejoice, and we're glad. Look at verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? Oh, well, that's not fair. I just told you, God is just. God only does that which is right. This is right. This is good. God is holy. What shall we say to these things? Here's what we'll say. If God be for us, who can be against us? What does it matter? If God be for us, if the Lord is for us, nothing else matters. That's all that matters. Be still, my soul. The Lord is on thy side. Whatever comes, bear it patiently, looking to Christ. And look at verse 32. This is so glorious. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Why would God spare not his own son, his only begotten son? Why would he do that and deliver him up for unworthy sinners? Why would he do that? Why would God freely give unworthy sinners all things in Christ? Why would God do that? If you recall Lazarus, when Martha and Mary sent unto the Lord and said, he whom thou lovest is sick. Here's what the Lord said. This is why. This is why God did that. This is why God gave his only begotten son. Our Lord said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. The purpose of eternity, the purpose of all things. God purposed to save a people from their sins for this reason, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. That's why God has magnified His Word, magnified the Lord Jesus Christ above all His name. We should turn back to our text. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Let us rejoice in our God's sovereignty, knowing thy God reigneth. Let us rejoice in God's providence and His purpose, knowing that He's working all things together for the good of His people and the glory of His name. And let us rejoice in God's promises to His own. This verse is a promise. We have this promise. This is the day. If we have a thousand more years on this earth, which we won't, but if this earth is here for 1,000 more years, it'll still be the day that the Lord hath made. So here's the promise in that. There's never going to be a day where God ceases to be God. There's never going to be a day where God is not on His throne, ruling and reigning and doing all things for good. There's never going to be a day that God does not have His way. And there will never be the day that God's purpose can be thwarted. There's never going to be the day. Why? As Gabe told us a week or two ago, why are you so sad? Why are we so sad? Why do we get so downcast? Rejoice and be glad in the Lord's promises to His people. Now, I want to close by showing us 7 precious promises in the book of John. We'll start in John chapter 6. John chapter 6. When I was a young boy, my favorite song that we sang in church was Standing on the Promises. And here I am at age 26, and this is all my hope. I'm standing on the promises of God, my Savior. It's all my hope. John chapter 6, verse 35 says, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Don't you love that? Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Look at verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Our Lord said in Matthew 11, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Look down at verse 47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. He that believeth on me hath everlasting life. He that hath the Son. There's only one thing I need. That's Christ the Son. He that hath the Son hath life. Look at John chapter 7. Verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Are you thirsty? Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. Christ is the river that never shall run dry. Turn over to John chapter 10. John 10, verse 27. Our Lord said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. What a promise. I give unto them the free gift of salvation. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Praise God. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. John 11. John 11, verse 25. I mentioned Lazarus. Lazarus has died. And our Lord is talking to Martha. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Believest thou this? Here's what Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 says, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. What a promise. What a promise. And the last promise I want us to see is found in John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 1. This is our Lord speaking again. He said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Our heart is often troubled, is it not? Hear the voice of our Savior, let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. I go to prepare a place for you. He went to the cross. We never will. We'll never have to. He died for our sins. We never will. He bore the wrath of God in our place. We won't have to. He went to prepare a place for us. And I want to read verse 3 again. This just makes me rejoice. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Praise God. And receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. It's not the many mansions that I'm looking forward to. It's being received by my Savior. Being with Him forever. What a promise. I pray God will enable us to rejoice and be glad in these precious promises. In His purpose, His providence. In the fact that our God is God. Our God is the sovereign. And in these precious promises, I pray that we can all honestly say, this is the day. This is the day in which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. All right, you're dismissed.